الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إقرارا به وتوحيدا وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما مزيدا أما بعد إن شاء الله بإذن الله to take the last 7 points of these tremendous treaties, this special book of nasiha and advice, which is, I don't think any one of us is exempt of needing such tremendous great words that Sheikh Al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned all those years ago. And just as a side note, like our Sheikh Abdullah Bukhari, he mentioned that the reason why these points are so potent and so hidden, and we can relate to them in our daily lives, is because if you was to read the biography of Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, then indeed that man was trialed. So when he was writing this advice, he was also speaking from experience, because indeed this man was trialed to the degree that you cannot even imagine, where he was imprisoned because of his knowledge and because of his worship and because of his creed and his methodology, imprisoned, and he remained in prison until he returned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But how Allah blessed him with a husn al-khatim, meaning with a good ending, that he died while he was reciting the Quran. So back to the points, inshallah. What number have we reached? What number have we reached then tonight? What number are we supposed to start? Which matter, which point? You see, this speaker system, Mr. Diab, you gotta sort it out. They can't hear properly. Is my voice echoing too much, too loud, too close? Is too what? It's echoing. So what's the remedy for that? Make it further away? Is that better? But does it help if I move it further away? See, does it help slightly? Well, it sounds a bit better, no? What number have we reached? I've got to give you, we're doing 20 points. Huh?
Number 7. You want
no, man. My question is, I'm not asking you what we covered. My question is that how many points have we covered so far? 13. Okay. So now we're going to start with 14. All right. Inshallah, we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides my tongues and He blesses our gathering and He blesses me with the ability to deliver that which is unclear and clear to understand, and may Allah bless you to understand and to be able to write down the notes correctly. So, the 14th point. أَنَّ صَبَرَهُ أَلَمًا أَذَاهُ وَإِحْتِمَالَهُ لَهُ يُوجَبْ رُجُوعُ خَصْمِهِ عَنْ ظُلْمِهِ وَنَدَامَتِهِ وَلَوْمَ النَّاسِ لَهُ فَيُعُودْ بَعْدَ إِذَائِهِ لَهُ. He mentions that when he remains patient upon the harms of others, then this patience itself will force the other person that is oppressing him to return back from his oppression. So this one, the mere fact that the way he is carrying himself in a humble way, the mere fact that he is not retaliating, this will cause that the one that is causing harm and oppression to him to return back from his oppression. And then the Shaykh explains why. Because he will fear the blame of the people, because the people will witness how he is carrying on and how he's oppressing this individual. and yet that individual is remaining dignified and remaining patient and honorable, and the people will see this. So then the people, they were in actuality, likewise, he will start to feel the blame of the people. And circumstances then will cause him to leave his dhulm, to leave his oppression. Or the consequences of that, he will be a person that becomes disliked. So when he sees the reaction of this person remaining calm and humble, this may make him become remorseful. He himself then may become remorseful in regards to his actions. Rather, he may become, or he may even then become a friend. So due to your reaction with the one that is harming you, with all of the things that he mentioned, that he may even then turn to be a friend. So this is what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, وَهَذَا مَعْنَ قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى. So this is the meaning of the statement of Allah the Most High. اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنُهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he quotes the verse, repel the evil with one which is better. Meaning that when evil comes to you, repel it with good. Be good. Then verily, by doing this, Allah says, verily, what is between you and him, the enmity between you will come, and that will be removed, and it will become as if for those you were a close friend. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, but none is granted this except for those who are patient. Allah bears witness. So these principles that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah was mentioning is not something which he made up, because he was deep understanding of the book of Allah and the sunnah of the messenger. He derived these principles and made it into bullet points for easy for us to understand. And look what the thing that he was saying, he derived it from the verse. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, idfa' billati hiya ahsan, that repel, meaning the harm and the evil that comes with you, with goodness. And that will cause the enmity between you to be removed, and then it will become as if for those you are friends. But then Allah reminds and says, but none is granted this except for the patient ones. Meaning that that affair is not easy. That can only be done by the patient ones. And he said, no one is granted this, meaning the patience, except he's an owner of a great portion, meaning of a great status and level of iman. So Sheikh Abdul Razak, regarding this, he says, if you meet harm with goodness, just as the example that we said yesterday, what example did we give of meeting harm with good? We gave an example regarding our messenger of Allah. Does anybody remember? The epitome of this principle, لا تقابل السيء بالسيء, do not meet an evil with an evil. Whenever the scholars talk about this principle, they mention one particular example. Aywa? The angel of the mountain. They refer to is the hadith of Ta'if, when he went to that village of Ta'if, when they harmed him, and the angel said, just came to the messenger, give me the word, I will destroy them for what they did to you. And then he said, leave it. Leave it from them, they will come. It is more beloved to him that from them there will be individuals that will come and say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, meaning believing in Allah. So he forgave them. So this is the prime example, not to meet evil with evil. Harm with harm. So Sheikh Abdul Razak, he says, if you meet harm with goodness, finally, the one that is oppressing you, finally, he will become embarrassed. Eventually, he will check himself and he will feel embarrassed. And then he will seek pardon from you. Then, due to that, then he's dealing with you is even better than your dealing before. It becomes even better. And by this, you have also helped him. And that is true. I bear witness to this, that in our travels and in our time, there has been individuals that we did not see eye to eye. And then you humble yourself for the sake of Allah and try to act upon this. And now our relationship with such individuals is far better than it was even before. So alhamdulillah, when you pardon my brothers and my sisters, only good can come from that. Now the next point. Number 15. ربما كان انتقامه ومقابلته سببا لزيادة الشر خصمه وقوة نفسه وفكرته في أنواع الأذى. He said, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah starts off by saying, by an individual taking revenge and showing vengeance, this will be a reason to increase the confrontation and that is amongst you and increase in the evil. So this is the next one that he's saying. So not being patient upon the harm and yet you enforce your strength and you want to take revenge, what is the outcome? Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says it will increase the problem. It will increase the evil. It will increase in you spending time plotting and planning of how to harm him. So this is what happens. It increases the problems. It increases your time of planning of how to harm or to get back at him. But then Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he says, فَإِذَا صَبَرَ وَعَفَى أَمِنَ مِنْ هَذَا ضَرَرٌ. But if he pardons, then he is safe from this harm. Allahu Akbar. You only have to admire this man, rahimullah, and have increased love for what a great scholar he was and how he has benefited the nations of Muslims that came after him. Look at these beautiful principles. That if you want to take harm or plot and plan, you will busy yourself. You will busy yourself plotting and planning, increasing in the evil, the confrontation that you have. But if you pardon, then he says, then you are safe from this harm. Because naturally, that's what happens. Coming out of the words of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, an example from myself. Look, any one of us, back in the day, when we got into a feud with the next gang or with the next crew, so what happens? One of them harm you, so then you round up your men, you round up your soldiers, you round up your tools, so then you go back and then you take course of action. And when you take course of action, you're not looking at justice. You're just looking to take revenge. So you destroy everything in your sight, regardless if it was the one that caused you harm, regardless if it's on the same level. No, you've just gone and caused destruction. And then you come back and then you feel satisfied amongst your people. And then you think that you've done something which is of khair. But in reality, the evil only grows, because then they do the same. Then they gather their soldiers. Then they are the ones that are going to come and take revenge against you. And when they come back, they will do more damage than the damage you did when you came, to set an example. So if you took two of their guys out, they want to take three or four of you out. And it's a vicious circle. It's a vicious circle. This is what continues. Back and forth. But Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said that if you was to pardon and leave it, then that harm of coming back and forth and worrying what they're going to do to you, you're exempt from that. You're free of that because you've pardoned and you've left it. And these are principles, wallah, that we need to understand and utilize in our life, because it will even save bloodshed. So then Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he went on to mention how many fell by taking revenge and they were met with an exchange of evil and they were not able to repel it, and how many lost their positions and they lost their wealth due to this. But if they forgave the oppressor, they would have maintained their rank, their position, and even their wealth. And subhanallah, it's as if although this man was amongst our midst in our countries today, and he's writing about our example today, how much bloodshed have we seen by going back and forth, drawing arms, taking one another out? How many Muslims have we lost? How many friends have we lost because of a vicious circle? It starts off with what? Something small, but then it grows like a snowball effect. Something as small as a small argument, and then someone wronged somebody, then that revenge, and then that revenge. And then just as Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he mentioned, how many have we seen that have lost and fell into evil due to this taking the revenge? And they lost much. You lost lives, you lost wealth and position. So the one that takes revenge, remember, he may even occur a greater evil. A greater evil may occur by him trying to take revenge. So Shaykh Abdul Razak says regarding this, he says, perhaps him taking revenge, he will come and face a greater evil. So pardoning and meeting an evil with good is safeguarding yourself from a greater harm. Beautiful principle. Shaykh Abdul Razak every now and then comes in with a different angle. So he says, if you pardon and you be evil with a good, then this is security. You are saving yourself from a possible greater harm. Jameel. The next one. Number what? Number 16. Ahsant. من اعتاد الانتقام ولم يصبر لابد أن يقع في الظلم. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he says, are you ready for this? Number 16. The one who becomes accustomed to taking revenge, he's become accustomed to this, and he does not remain patient, he would definitely fall into oppression. Definitely. Now look at this. We'll stop there. Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah's words. Look at this. From another person doing harm to you. You're an innocent person minding your own business. But then you have a tyrant, an oppressor that comes to harm you. But due to the fact, when that harm reaches you, the way you deal with it, you can even become the same as him. You now become somebody who is a tyrant, who's an oppressor. So Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah says, look, if a person doesn't get used to being patient and he becomes accustomed to having this attitude of revenge, somebody mess with me, I'm going to deal with him. If you frig with me, I'm going to deal with you. If you constantly have that attitude, you yourself will fall into oppression. And Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he explains why. A person will not limit to the limits of justice. So, you know how Islam and the Sharia has laid down limits, correct? Islam has laid down certain laws that you're not allowed to transgress. But once you get into this whole game of revenge and anger, then you transgress because you don't have any tools that can measure what you're doing. Are you transgressing or not? So Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah says, perhaps he is not able to remain just. So if he becomes angry, then he transgresses. He transgresses the limits, and he is no longer able to control what he is saying and what he is doing. Bearing in mind, listen to what Shaykh al-Islam Ibn said, bearing in mind he was the mazloom. Bearing in mind, he was the one that was oppressed. Are you with me? Everybody with me? Okay. So, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah says that he explained that when this person is taking revenge, he's transgressed the limits, becomes angry, no longer control of his speech, no longer control of his actions. And then Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah says that, remember, he was the one that was wronged. But look at the way he's reacted, and now he wanted to aid himself and he wanted to get his honor back. So then what happens? Then he becomes the zalim. He now becomes the oppressor, the transgressor. And then what awaits him after that? Except for punishment. So that's where Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah's words finish. So then I say, Abu Idris, a small side note to this, do not let the shortcomings of other people make you fall short. Or do not make the shortcomings of others jeopardize your relationship with Allah. Remember that. Don't make the shortcomings of other people jeopardize your relationship with Allah. Because if you do that, it is a dangerous game. Because you are now basing the way you live your life purely upon the actions of others. So if others are good to you, then you remain good. But if others wrong you, then you become a wrong zalim. No, that's not the way of the believer. That's not the way of the strong believer. The Sahaba, the companions of the Messenger of Allah, they were great in strength. They were great in belief and great in knowledge. And they sometimes had the ability, like the example of Umar bin Khattab, he had the ability to enforce revenge. But many times he learned and he humbled himself from the command of the Messenger and he left it purely for following the way of the Sharia. So now Sheikh Abdul Razak, regarding this point, he says, "Inna sabra aslam laka wa bara'a li dhimmatik." That he says that patience is the safer option. It keeps a person free of blame. When you're patient, it keeps a person free of blame. And he says that if you was to take revenge, let's just say perhaps you transgress the line. Because you know, when once you're vexed, and once you've got shaitan whispering in your ears, and once you've got your bad companions that are egging you on, that we must take revenge, we must show that we're strong, we're soldiers, we have to show this. When you have your friends egging you on like this, and the shaitan whispering, then at that time, your mind and your bearings are no longer working. So then what will happen is, Shaykh Abdul Razak says, Rubbama, he said, perhaps you will go over the limit of justice. You will go over the limit of justice. What we mean by justice, what Islam allows you to do by way of protecting yourself. So if you go over that, then he said, you are under the threat of the verse when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, "Inna Allah la yuhibbu al-zalimin." Indeed, Allah does not love the transgressors, those who transgress. So you're under the threat of this verse. And Sheikh Abdul Razak, he says, who from amongst us has the ability to measure the oppression? Who from us has the ability to know that, no, here I need to stop because I may transgress? Which one of us has the tools to measure the level of oppression? So the safer option is, rather than reacting, it is best to safeguard yourself and take the easier option and be free from the threat of Allah not loving you, and free from the threat that you will receive punishment from your oppression. The next one. Number 17. أن هذه مظلمة التي ظلمها هي سبب إما لتكفير سيئاته أو رفع الدرجات. Number 17, beautiful as well. This harm that reaches him from others, then it is possibly because of two reasons, two things, or two things that can come from it. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, either it is an expiation of his sin, or رَفِعْ دَرِجَتَهُ, or it is a raising of his ranks. So Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah is saying is that when this harm reaches you, this harm where you're innocent is the intent, you're not falling into sin, you haven't transgressed, it can mean two things. If you remain patient, that is, that's the condition. Make sure you put that in your notes, that if you remain patient, when harm reaches you, it can be two things. So that patience is the fundamental condition for the other two to occur. So if you remain patient, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, either Allah will expiate your sins, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise you in your rank. فَإِذَا انْتَقَمَ وَلَمْ يَصْبِرْ لَمْ تَكُمْ مُكَفَّرَةٍ لِسَيِّئَاتِهِ وَلَا رَافِعَةً لِدَرْجَتِهِ. He said, but if he seeks vengeance and does his revenge and transgresses, then this is no longer applicable to him. It's gone. It's not raising of the ranks no more. And it is no longer expiation of the sins, meaning forgiving of the sins. It's gone. You've lost that opportunity. Because to receive that opportunity, there's a condition. And that condition is, being patient. Being patient. So Shaykh Abdul Razak, regarding this point, he says, being patient, yarhamakullah, it guarantees, if you're patient, it guarantees the expiation of the sins, and it guarantees the raising of your ranks. But if you take revenge for yourself, you would have left it and thrown it away, just as we mentioned earlier. This great opportunity of expiating the sins and raising of your ranks will be left from you and gone from you. So that's where Sheikh Abdul Razak finishes. So then I say, Abu Idris, to add on to that, why be so foolish to throw such ni'mah away? Every one of us likes to believe that he's a smart person, because that's what the Salaf, they would say. They say that knowledge is something so noble and so honorable that everybody wants to be attached to knowledge. Meaning that he wants to be from the ones that people attribute knowledge to. Meaning that this attribute of being knowledgeable, everybody wants that. And even if he is jahil, even if he is ignorant, he still wants to be attached to somebody that knows. Because how noble ilm is. But you know, ignorance, jahil, nobody wants to be attributed to that. Even if the person is ignorant, he doesn't want it to be known to the people that he's ignorant. It's distasteful, because no one likes that attribute. That attribute of ignorance, nobody likes. Are you following me? Do you agree? Each one of us here likes to believe, or would want to be more on the side of known to be person of knowledge. Nobody would want to have the attributes or the finger pointed to him and say, you're ignorant. The soul doesn't like that. This shows you, the point I'm getting is how beautiful knowledge is. So, if we claim and want to move to the way of knowledge, then obviously knowledge, you have to act upon it. You cannot be a student of knowledge or a scholar except that you act upon the knowledge that you have. Then look at this beautiful example. Look at this beautiful example. A person of knowledge and understanding, why would he throw away such a reward for someone who's wronging him? This is the whole ironic thing, that the one that is wronging you, he's a foolish person and he has transgressed. So it's bad enough him wronging you, but why would you, from his wrong now, the way you deal with it, then you mess yourself even more than the wrong that he's actually done to you. Because now we understand, after listening to what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah has explained, and alhamdulillah, we flee away from giving our deeds away. We flee away from all of what the negative points that I've mentioned through studying this beautiful risalah. So the next one, number 18. Now, each point that I come to, I keep on saying, what? MashaAllah, Jameel, this is my favorite one. All of them are tremendous. But listen to this one. أن عفوه وصبره من أكبر الجند له على خصمه. His pardoning and his patience, meaning when he is trialed and harmed, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, his pardoning and his patience is from his greatest armies, from his greatest soldiers against his opponents. So your pardoning and your forgiving and you remaining patient, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah has mentioned that there to be your strongest weapon, your strongest army, your strongest soldiers. فإن من صبر وعفا كان صبره وعفوه موجبا لذل العدو. Why? Because your patience and your pardoning, it necessitates your enemy becomes humiliated. So I just want to stop there and I'll bring in an explanation from myself. Listen to what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says so you can understand. What did Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, I want you to participate with me here a little bit. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah now explains your forgiveness and your pardoning. What did he refer it to? Jund. What did he say? Your strongest army. Yeah? And your strongest soldiers. So he referred pardoning and forgiving. Imagine it, that pardoning and forgiving is now soldiers. It's your army. Babe, he said, this is your strongest army and strongest soldiers. And then he explains why. Listen carefully, because after I've explained, I want you to explain it back to me. Babe, so we can go over it, because this point is very, very beautiful. He said, and he explained why it is your strongest army. He said, when you pardon and when you forgive, your opponent, the one that is harming you, he becomes humiliated. He becomes humiliated. So just imagine if, for example, somebody wronged me. So then I gather my soldiers from Masjid Ibn Abbas, and then we've gone, we've gone down Plymouth, and I take my soldiers, and when we go down there, we take care of them. With a big battle, we lose one or two men, they lose, but we come back, and then we say that we've humiliated them. But to humiliate them, it took an army, and it took problems, and it took us to transgress. But what Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah is saying, your pardoning and your forgiving is such an army that it has the same effect. He humiliates the one that is wronging you. He's debased and humiliated just from the mere fact that you forgave and pardoned, because that is your army, your strongest army. So instead of having a physical army where you go and harm, you have a, because this is what comes about. Because when someone wrongs you, with all the benefits that we've mentioned, then Allah is with you. So it's an, they will naturally be humiliated. So did you understand that point? Yo, welcome salam. Ahl al-Tabago, did you understand that? Anybody understand that? All right then, I want to ask the ones that are not nodding their heads. All right, you, give me the breakdown. Let's say you're teaching me, I don't understand. So Ustaz, what's his name? Hakim. Hakim, me not catch it. I'm not, these words, me not catch it. Explain to me. Wagwan. Yeah.
So it's better to be patient and forgive, because then the excessive force that you have to do to gain this revenge, you still have this.
That's beautiful. You're making it sound sweet. What I want to know is what Sheikh Habib Ibn Taymiyyah said, that how does what is the strongest weapon? Patience and forgiveness. That is the weapon. Okay, so that is your weapon and your strongest army against the one that is oppressing you. So then you use that, and by using the weapon of pardoning and forgiving, what does it cause your opponent to happen? What happens to your enemy? He's humiliated. He's humiliated. So, well, them carry the same meaning, man. Pardon, forgiving, patient. But al-afu, pardoning, which is afu, which is basically forgiving, taib, and patience. Okay then, so as'aluk lahza. All right. Afuun, innaka al-afuun, tuhibbu al-afwa fa'fu anna. It's the strongest dua that you can say on Laylatul Qadr. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, afwan, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah goes on to mention, and he says, not only will they be humiliated, it will cause the enemy to fear you. The fear will come. And then thereon after, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, he will fear the people. Because when the people see that he's constantly oppressing and doing wrong to the people, then the people would dislike him. The people would dislike him also. So from the things that occur, that he will be humiliated, he will have fear in his heart for you, and then he will start fearing what the people say. And even though he may be quiet and remain silent, the people will not remain silent upon the heart about the harm he does. But if you take revenge, once again, Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, you will lose all of this. So Shaykh Abdul Razak, he says, and he adds, your forgiving and your patience is your strength. And it is your army against your disputant, the one that is arguing with you. And he said, Shaykh Abdul Razak adds an extra point, and he says, فَيُصْبِحَ النَّاسِ فِي مَقَامِهِ دِفَاعًا عَنْ. He said, the people will then stand up for your rights. Even the people would stand in your defense and fight and aid you without you even seeking their aid. This is what come about. Because naturally, everybody wants to help the righteous person. That is something that we have. Somebody who is innocent, somebody that is weak, you naturally incline to want to help them and defend them. And that is why, if you were to see somebody now attacking a young man or a Muslim sister or one of our brothers or sisters, naturally you will defend them. Or you will defend the weak one. So Sheikh Abdul Razak said that this is also from what Allah brings about, that the people, they will defend you. Next one. At-tasi' al-ashr. Number 19. The next one is إِذَا عَفَى أَنْ خَصْمِهِ. He said, if you pardon once again, you will have avoided coming down to the level of the disputant, meaning that the one who is arguing with you or oppressing you. So if you forgive, then you're not coming down to his level. But then if you meet him with what he is meeting you with, then you're upon his level. So Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, then he goes on to mention that his enemy will feel that the one that he is harming is above him in levels. So if someone is doing you a wrong, but you simply ignore him, you leave him, you don't come down to his level, and even though what he is doing to you, within himself, inside, he will feel lesser than you. He will feel lesser than you. He will look at you, even though he's trying to harm you, he will still see you as somebody who's above him in rank, because you haven't fallen down to his level. His soul, Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentioned, that he will be forced to acknowledge this, as a side note, afwan. And this remains. And he said, Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, just the mere fact that you not coming down to his level brings you honor, and you keep your honor, just for that reason itself, it is worth pardoning, that you don't fall down to his level. So this point, Sheikh Abdul Razak explains, he said, Sheikh Abdul Razak said, and this is similar to what we mentioned before in a hadith, مَا زَادَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا بِعَفْوٍ إِلَّا عِزَّةٍ. The hadith which is we mentioned earlier, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that a slave will not cease to raise in honor while he forgives and pardons. So meaning, the more he pardons, Allah raises him in honor. So you pardon, you will be raised in honor. فَهَذَا أَنْفَى لِلْعَبْدِ. So Sheikh Abdul Razak said that this is more benefiting for the slave. For the slave, وَأَعْذَمْ فِي مَكَانَتِهِ. And it is greater for his rank and station. But if, once again, you have noticed both of the mashayikh, Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah and even Abdul Razak, they all say, but if he's to retaliate, then they lose all of these virtues. So nearly every single point, at the end, it is met with. After explaining the tremendous virtues, then Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah always says, but if you was not to remain patient and retaliate, then all of the above which is mentioned has gone, meaning it's not for you. And finally, alhamdulillah, the last point, al-ishroon. Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah finishes off by saying, أنه إذا عفا وصفح كانت هذه الحسنة فتولد له الحسنة الأخرى. He said, by pardoning and forgiving, this is referred to as a hasana, a good deed. Right? It is a hasana, a good deed. And in return, what will happen? فَتُوَلِّدُ لَهُ الْحَسَنَةُ الْأُخْرَى. this good deed, it will give birth to another good deed. Meaning from this good deed comes another good deed. فَتِلْكَ الْأُخْرَى تُولِدُ الْأُخْرَى. And he goes, and that other deed that has come about because of the first deed, then that gives birth to another good deed. Meaning that your deeds just keep multiplying. Keep multiplying. The good deeds will never cease to end. Because you know that from a good deed comes another good deed. So Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he says, فَإِنَّ مِنْ ثَوَابِ الْحَسَنَ الْحَسَنَ. He says, for indeed the reward of good is good, and the recompense of an evil action is likewise evil. And then Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he says, رُبَّمَا كَانَ هَذَا سَبَبًا. And what a tremendous, tremendous statement to finish this book. He said, وَرُبُّمَا كَانَ هَذَا سَبَبًا لِنَجَاتِهِ وَسَعَادَتِهِ أَبَدِيَّةً فَإِذَا إِنْتَقَمَ وَانْتَصَرَ زَالَ ذَلِكَ. He said, perhaps this may be the reason, meaning he's pardoning and forgiving, may be the reason for his success and his constant happiness. But if he was to take revenge, then all of this would be removed. La ilaha illallah. Rahimullah rahmatan wasan Shaykh al-Islam. So Shaykh Abdul Razak, he finishes off by saying, pretty similar, he says that if you forgive, it brings about an hasana, and the reward of that good deed is another good deed that comes after it. And he says, وُجِدَتِ الْحَسَنَ نَادَتْ أُخْتَهَا. That when this hasana, good deed, comes, then he calls to his sister, meaning calls to another good deed, and it keeps on multiplying. But however, this would be lost if a person does not preserve patience. Al-Hasil, and then in conclusion, Shaykh Abdul Razak, he said, هَذِي الْوُجُوهُ الْعَظِيمَةُ وَالْعُمُورُ النَّافِعَةُ. He said these different angles that the Shaykh brought, meaning Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, they are indeed tremendous and extremely benefiting. That our Shaykh, or that the Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he mentions, that will help a person to be able to remain patient upon the harms of others, and how he explained it in tremendous meaning. And it is worth, he said, that for every Muslim to reflect upon these words and to benefit from these words, so it may be something that will aid him with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so he may be able to implement patience in these times. So then he said, فَجَزَاءُ الْإِمَامِ خَيْرَ الْجَزَاءُ عَلَى هَذَا النَّصْ عَلَى هَذَا النَّصْ وَهَذَا الْبَيَانِ. That may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward this Imam with a tremendous reward for this advice and this clarity. نَسَأَلُ اللَّهَ الْكَرِيمَ أَنْ يَنْفَعَنَا أَجْمَعِينَ بِمَا عَلِمْنَا. And then he finished off with a dua saying that we pray to Allah the Most Noble, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefits us all from that which we have heard and that which we have learned. وَيُزِيدُنَا عِلْمًا. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us all in our knowledge. وَأَنْ يُصْلِحَ لَنَا شَعْنَنَا كُلَّهُ. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rectify all of our affairs. And inshallah, we'll round up on that note. It does sadden the heart, subhanallah, that this is our last lecture that we'll do in the time that I'm here. But wallahi, I say first and foremost that I benefited from this book perhaps more than perhaps what you lot have benefited. And Allah knows best. Like I said, I'm a student just like yourselves, and we are always learning. And what a tremendous book this was. And I just want to thank the brothers who were responsible for bringing me over here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put that on their mizan of hasana, in their good deeds, on a day where no wealth, where no offspring will be of any avail, of any benefit, except for the one that comes with a qalban salim, that comes with a heart that is salim, that is sound, free of shirk, and filled with good deeds. So we pray that Allah rewards those that were responsible for bringing me here, and likewise the community, the sisters, and all of you that came together and helped out by making this possible by way of food, by way of any help that you did. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase you all in good. And remember the words that you heard of the scholars. And try my best, my brothers and my sisters, to support one another and invite one another to the haqq. Support one another and advise one another with good, and be patient with one another, and strive hard to learn. Let this be a point that changes your life by way of seeking knowledge. Every single day, bi'idhnillah, take small portions. Go back to the recordings, listen to the recordings, and you have your own dirasa, your own revision every day. Because it's very difficult to be able to comprehend such knowledge just in a few sittings. But if you went home in the presence of your own homes, in your own relaxed environment, and then you went over the recordings and wrote everything down, memorized it, taught your family, because that's one of the ways that will help you to understand. You teach your family and then you act upon it. Up until alhamdulillah, we become a nation and we become a people where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, you are from the greatest of nations that were to come about. The greatest of the people, but with a condition. تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. That you enjoin the good and you forbid the evil. And that is basically clinging on to the Quran and to the Sunnah upon the understanding of the righteous guided predecessors, the Salaf al-Salih. And do not let your studying just be when students come and you have a conference. La shak wa la rayb, that is a different phase and you can benefit. But let what you have taken today and or this week and increasing your knowledge every day. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with means that if you want to seek knowledge with the means that we have today, with the technology that we have today, you can strive. But wallah, promise me and promise yourselves and aid yourselves, because what you have heard, all of this can only be implemented if you have knowledge. So seek that knowledge and pray to Allah, for indeed He is the one that is the grantor of knowledge. He is the one that will give you the success in teaching knowledge. So make that dua, Rabbi zidni ilma, O Allah, increase me in knowledge. As Allah commanded the messenger to make that dua, Rabbi zidni ilma, learn that dua, and while seeking knowledge, be sincere. And at the same time, do the means, stay away from haram, carry out righteous actions. All of this will aid you to become strong and to take and absorb knowledge. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. أقول قولي هذا أستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم.